God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Yes. Glory to God.
I remember in the summertime, my brothers and I, we would always get on our bikes and we ride around all over the city. And we felt like it was a car. We just were so happy to just kind of go around the city, go to different parks. And I remember one time we was riding our bike into the this junkyard. And we rode our bike into the junkyard and there was a dog that came out barking. So my older brother was on his bike and I had my cousin. And sure enough, the chains on my bike fell as I was trying to turn around, trying to get away from this dog. And so I'm fumbling, trying to get the chain onto my bike. And my brother is gone. He just left. He just started riding his bike, kind of waved, and he was gone. And then my cousin stopped, and he took the bike, and he tried to act like it was a weapon towards the dog. And it made the dog stop in its place. And it gave me just enough time to put the chains on back on my bike. And then I was able to escape. Amen. Without harm. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Yes.
So I bring up this story to say, you know, we hear about fear. You know, when we encounter danger, is either we fight or we flight. Fight or flight. That's our initial reaction to danger. So Elijah, in the first reading, you know, he just came from taking care of all these false prophets. He murdered all the false prophets. He proved that God was real. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. So everyone realized that the false prophets were wrong. Baal is a false god, and they have to worship the true God. So Elijah is in flight mode. He's escaping Jezebel. He's running away from Jezebel because he doesn't want to die. And God is leading him at the same time. Where does he lead him? To a mountain. He leads Elijah to this mountain, and it took him 40 days to reach this mountain. This mountain was the same mountain that Moses encountered God on with the burning bush. So it's something about mountains that God always wants to draw us to be at. So he drew him into this mountain, and he's looking for God. He said, where is God in this moment? Is he in a fire? No. Then there's an earthquake? No. There's the wind? No. And then God reveals himself as a whispering voice.
Amen.
And so he comes out of the cave. He puts his robe on his face because he's not worthy to face God.
Yes.
So out of fear, reverence, he covers his face and God speaks to him. Just think about that. In our situations of life, we think that God is going to reveal himself in this maybe big, spectacular way. Mm-hmm. That's in our face, like a fire, a wind, or an earthquake. It has to be somehow cinematic, just right there. We want it to be spectacular. God has to speak to me in this way that seems to be so powerful. But we see the humility of God in that he doesn't want to reveal himself as intimidating as a wind or earthquake or fire, but a small voice. But the voice can't be heard with noise. Amen? So it's that silence, that solitude on the mountain where Elijah encounters God. And St. Paul, he talks about how he is really in anguish. He sees the danger of his people, the Israelites, the Jews. They don't want to come to God. Like Elijah, they don't want to come to God, but they're running away from God by not accepting Jesus.
Right.
So they're fleeing from God. They're fleeing from Jesus. Thinking that he's not the one. And he's in anguish, agony. So much so that he wishes that he was the sacrifice, that he could be the sacrifice rather than rejecting Jesus. He feels so one with them that he feels that agony, that they're running away from the God who's calling them from the very beginning, from Abraham to Moses. Everything was set up just in the right place. And all they had to do was accept the faith. But they said no. This teaches us that we should always realize that Jesus draws us to himself. He draws us up that mountain because he wants us all for himself. He wants us to be in communion with him from within, not from the outside. He wants to commune with us from within, because why not? If you have your best friend, you have your best friend that is always there for you, you want to go and speak to them in person, do you not? You want to be with them in private. You don't want anyone else there, just you and your best friend. And you have that intimate conversation with your best friend. You tell them your hopes, your fears, everything that's going on in your life. But you do that in private. So why not for Jesus?
Yes, yes.
So what does our Lord do? Amen. He wants to have that private time with his Father. He heard about St. John the Baptist being beheaded. And he wants to go out into the mountain. But the people of God come to him. He ministers, and then he still perseveres in prayer. He prays all night in communion with his Father on the mountain in that silence. He pours out his heart before his Heavenly Father because he allows his fear, or whatever agony that he has, he pours out to his Father. He doesn't run away from his Father and keeps the fear and the suffering to himself, tries to hide that anxiety or that fear or that pain. He doesn't hide it from his Father. No, he reveals it to his Father in prayer on the mountain throughout that night.
Yes.
And at 3 a.m, he walks on water. And the apostles are in this boat, and it's at night, and they hear the wind, and they're seeing Jesus walk on water. He's energized, fully in communion with his Father and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he's walking on water towards them. And they're in fear. They wish they could run away like my brother did. They wish they could just get up and just leave. But they can't. They're in a boat. So they're in this boat, and the wind is whirling, and they're in a boat, and they can't move. They're immobile, right? All they can do is cry out in fear. And Jesus says, take courage, it is me. And Peter, St. Peter is the only one who says, okay, if that's you, Lord, he gets how this works. Like, he understands, okay, Jesus is walking on water, I can't. So, Lord, command me. He understands, that's a prayer. He's talking to Jesus. Jesus is God. Command me, Lord. So he's praying to Jesus. He's saying, command me. Because he knows Jesus has authority over the water, but he doesn't. But if you extend that authority to him, then he'll walk on water. So he gets out of the boat. The only apostle, he gets out of the boat, and he walks towards Jesus. Just imagine the scene. Jesus is there, radiating light. Somehow they can see him. He's probably glowing. And Peter's getting out of the boat. He's afraid. He doesn't know if he's going to make it, but he stands on the water, and he's just walking on water. And once the wind comes, that's when he's like, okay, time out. I'm going to drown. This wind is coming. He starts sinking in the water, and that's when Jesus reaches out to him, and he grabs him by the arm, and he lifts him up. He said, why were you afraid? Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. Our Lord rebukes St. Peter for the weakness of his faith. He had worry. He had anxiety. He was nervous. And I bet everyone in this room including me, would have been nervous to walk on that water at night with the wind blowing. I would have probably been like, say, John, I stayed in the boat. Okay, Peter, you can do this. But Peter, you gotta give him credit. He had that faith enough to at least try. So I wanna talk about a prayer. So how do we climb that mountain? You and I, what do we do to not flight, but to fight what? Our fears. When we say fight, I don't mean each other or situations in our life. I mean to fight the fear, to fight the worry, to fight the anxiety. That's the battle, because that's what truly wounds us. It's the fear, anxiety, and we let it consume us because it's in our mind, it's in our heart. So we can wound ourselves very easily, all the time. But how do we stop fighting ourselves and fighting the fear and fighting anxiety as an enemy? We fight that temptation to have fear, worry, and anxiety. That's what we want to fight, right? So there's a prayer, it's called the Surrender Novena. And there was a priest named, he's a servant of God, Father, he's Italian, I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, Dolando Ritturdo. So basically, he was the spiritual director of St. Pio. And St. Pio is a canonized saint, and he considered his spiritual director, he considered him holy. So this is a novena. What Jesus says to him is powerful. This is what our Lord said to him. So this is the first day of the novena. Jesus says, "Why do you confuse yourselves by worrying? Leave the care of your affairs to me, and everything will be peaceful. I say to you in truth that every act of true, blind, complete surrender to me produces the effect that you desire, and it resolves all difficult situations." So repeat after me. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Let's say it again. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Amen. So Jesus told this priest to say that 10 times, 9 days in a row. On the second day, this is what Jesus says to this priest. He said, "Surrender to me does not mean to fret, to be upset, or to lose hope. Nor does it mean offering to me a worried prayer, asking me to follow you and change your worry into prayer. It is against this surrender, deeply against it, to worry, to be nervous, and to desire to think about the consequences of anything. It is like the confusion that children feel when they ask their mother to see to their needs and then try to take care of those needs for themselves, so that their childlike efforts get in their mother's way." See what our Lord says. He says when we pray, we have to have the word surrender. The word surrender is the center of all of our prayer that brings us into communion. The surrender is what helps us to have peace. And so when we pray, we have to have that disposition of surrender. Just remember Jesus' agony in the garden. Our Lord had this fear, anxiety. He's sweating blood. But he says, "Heavenly Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." The first prayer, easy to say. We all can relate. Take away this cross, Lord. We want him to take away that cross because we're experiencing worry, fear, because of that cross. But he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So we see the second half is surrender. Even in Our Father, "Your will be done on earth, on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is a surrender. Jesus helps us to realize that through the Holy Spirit, we have to surrender to Him ourself, our complete self. And what does that mean? When we surrender ourself, we win. We don't lose. See, in the world, we think that if we surrender to this or that, okay, we lose. We lose our freedom. We lose our personality. We lose our identity. This all surrendering idea, we're not really interested in that, right? But Jesus is not saying surrender to everyone and everything. He's saying surrender to me. Jesus says surrender to Him. But we surrender to Him by giving Him everything that we have. Everything that we have, we give to Him. And we trust that He can take care of it. Yes. So the prayer is to help us to start thinking in this way, that every prayer really is about surrender. That's really what it's all about. It's about surrendering to the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So here's another quote Jesus says, "How many things I do when the soul is in so much spiritual and material need, turns to me, looks at me and says to me, you take care of it, then closes its eyes and rest. In pain, you pray for me to act, but that I act in the way that you want. You do not turn to me. Instead, you want me to adapt to your ideas. You are not sick people who ask the doctor to cure you, but rather sick people who tell the doctor how to. So do not act in this way, but pray as I taught you in the Our Father. Hallowed be thy name. That is, be glorified in my need. Thy kingdom come. That is, let all that is in us and the world be in accord with your kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, in our need, decide as you see fit for our temporal and eternal life. If you say to me truly, thy will be done, which is the same as saying you take care of it, I will intervene with all my omnipotence, and I will resolve the most difficult situations." Amen. And then our Lord says, "You see evil growing instead of weakening. Do not worry. Close your eyes and say to me with faith, thy will be done. You take care of it. I say to you that I will take care of it, and that I will intervene as a doctor, and I will accomplish miracles when they are needed. Do you see that the sick person is getting worse? Do not be upset, but close your eyes and say, you take care of it. I say to you that I will take care of it, and that there is no medicine more powerful than my loving intervention. Amen. By my love, I promise this to you." Amen. Amen. Amen? Jesus is making a promise to us. He goes on and on to talk about how we keep closing our eyes. You know, we all can't go to a mountain. You know, we might not have the means, we might be able physically to go up the mountain, just like Jesus, just like Elijah. But the mountain our Lord calls us to walk up doesn't have to be physical. It can be spiritual.
Yes.
And the mountain is that struggle in which we surrender ourselves to Jesus. Yes. When we close our eyes, we're going to that spiritual mountain. And we're climbing. Each time we say the prayer, this prayer of surrender, we're climbing. Each time we say the prayer is one step up that mountain. But we don't want to stop. We want to keep saying a prayer. We want to take each step forward in climbing that spiritual mountain. Because only when we climb that mountain will we hear the voice of Jesus. Because this priest heard Jesus in a way where he was able to write it down. That may not be the case for all of us, right? We may not hear him in such a clear, distinct way. But because we have faith that the Lord loves us as much as he loved this priest and any other saint who heard the voice of Jesus, he loves us the same as he loves St. Peter and all the apostles. There's no way our Lord loves us less. So we can just dismiss that idea. We have to realize that the promise is for all of us as a disciple. Amen?
Amen.
He makes this to all of us. The message is for each and every one of us. So I read this, and when I hear the words of Jesus, you know, when I read this, I see this as Jesus speaking to me. I don't need anyone to tell me this. I don't need a priest or, I just believe that when I read this, Jesus is speaking to me. Because why not? Our Lord can give us direction.
That's right.
Through the saints, through sacred scripture. Why
That's
not?
Right. Amen.
Why not would our Lord not speak to us?
That's right.
Because every one of us is on that mountain.
Amen.
And we're all climbing. We haven't made it to the top, right? We haven't passed from this life into heaven. We're all on this mountain, every one of us. We're all climbing. And what we want to do is we want to help each other climb up. We don't want to drag each other down. We want to climb up. We want to support each other to climb up the mountain because we're all climbing in the same direction. We all are struggling with temptation. So we all want to help each other climb up. But the surrender is the key. The surrender is the key to moving up that mountain and to not lose hope and to not be discouraged or despair, because that's the weapon of the enemy. That's what the devil wants us. He wants us to be discouraged.
That's right.
So yes, we experience fear, just like St. Peter, just like all the apostles. They all experience fear. It's not that we don't have faith because we have fear. They all had fear, but they all have faith. But we want to fight the fear.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
We want to keep fighting it. It's not that it's going to always never appear, right? But we want to keep fighting it because it's going to keep coming up, just like weeds in a garden. It keeps coming up, but we want to keep pulling it out. Every time the fear comes up in our soul, we want to pull that fear like a weed. We want to pull it out, keep pulling it out. No matter how many times we see it pop up, we want to keep pulling it out of the soil in our heart, so that we can move forward up that mountain, right?
Amen, yeah, amen.
And Jesus says, and when I must lead you on a path different from the one you see, I will prepare you. I will carry you in my arms. I will let you find yourself like children who have fallen asleep in their mother's arms on the other bank of the river. What troubles you and hurts you immensely are your reason, your thoughts, and worry. You desire at all costs to deal with what afflicts you. You are sleepless, you want to judge everything, direct everything, and to see everything, and you surrender to human strength, or worse, to men themselves, trusting in their intervention. That is what hinders my words and my views. Oh, how much I wish from you this surrender, to help you, and how I suffer when I see you so agitated. Satan tries to do exactly this, to agitate you, and to remove you from my protection, and to throw you into the jaws of human initiative. So trust only in me, rest in me, surrender to me in everything. I perform miracles in proportion to your full surrender to me, and to your not thinking of yourselves. I sow treasure troves of graces when you are in the deepest poverty. No person of reason, no thinker, has ever performed miracles, not even among the saints. He does divine works whosoever surrenders to God. So don't think about it anymore, because your mind is acute, and for you it is very hard to see evil and to trust in me and to not think of yourself. Do this for all your needs. Do this, all of you, and you will see great, continual, silent miracles. I will take care of things. I promise this to you. Close your eyes and look and let yourself be carried away in the flowing current of my grace. Close your eyes and do not think of the present, turning your thoughts away from the future, just as you would from temptation. Repose in me, believing in my goodness, and I promise you by my love that if you say you take care of it, I will take care of it all. I will console you, liberate you, and guide you. Pray always in readiness to surrender, and you will receive from it great peace and great rewards, even when I confer on you the grace of immolation, of repentance, and of love. Then, what does suffering matter? It seems impossible to you. Close your eyes and say with all your soul Jesus, take care of it. Do not be afraid. I will take care of things, and you'll be blessed by my name. My name by humbling yourself. 1,000 prayers cannot equal one single act of surrender. Remember this well. There's no novena more effective than this. So let's say it again. Oh, Jesus. I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.